Good morning, church family. This is Pastor Elson. The message today is entitled Prep Time. Of course, is an expression that is everyone is very familiar. And we do understand that I don't think we do even need to give you a definition what a preparation, what the word preparation means. And of course, time, we all are prisoners of time. We all can relate to time. Now, if you take a moment to look in your bulletin, a church bulletin, you see the cover that we put together. You see there's a Bible, the Word of God, and there is two clocks, one representing the past and one representing the future. What you see on the one in the future is that there is an individual right there on the clock trying to hold time back. He's almost begging to say, I need more time. And of course, the three angels' message, which is basically a prophetic clock also, because it tells us it is the last preparation before the Lord returns. And so that is the intent for us with the picture on the bulletin. Definition of preparation. Preparation is an action or a process of making something ready to use, for use or service, or to get ready for some occasion or an exam, a test, or a duty. Preparation are the things that we do or the time that we spend preparing for something, for a occasion, or like we said, a test or a duty or some responsibility. And finally, preparation is to make ready in advance. Now, literally, I was examining this word. P-E-R, the preposition there, it stands for before. And of course, para means the point where everything starts. So before everything starts is what you do before it's time for you to start whatever task you're prepared to. Now, every single time, everyone, I want you, especially you young people, I want you to write this down, because this is going to be helpful to you as you study for exams, as you get involved in other projects. This is almost like a lesson that somebody should have told you in school. So please take a pen. I want you to write this down. If you want to define the process of preparation, you need at least 5 steps. I know you can be creative and create more steps, but at least I'm going to give you 5 steps that you must have. You young people, old people, whatever, anybody who deals with preparation needs to know those 5 steps. And to make it easier, we create them with the P word. Remember, preparation. First step in preparation is a project. You need to define very clearly what are you preparing for. So this is the what. So project, the what. And then the next one is the purpose. Why? Why do you need to be prepared for this? Why do we invest time for this? What is the main goal? So the purpose is the why. And then comes the proposal. The how. This is where you need to know, how am I going to do this? First, the what. Then the why, and then how. And after you have the how, you're going to need the time, the period, when. When needs to be started and when it needs to be finished. So you have a time frame for that. That's the period. And finally, we need the planners. We need the whom. You needed to make sure that the planners is not just the a person, but every single person will be involved on the process of preparation. Sometimes you can study for an exam with 2 people, you can study as a group. So you need to define your project, what, the purpose, why, the proposal, how, the period, when, and the planner, whom. Several centuries ago, a Japanese emperor commissioned an artist to paint a green pheasant. That's a national bird of Japan. I think Brother Brett knows about that. A number of months passed, then the several years passed, and it's still no painting, not even a word from the artist. So the people in the palace around the emperor start getting nervous because they noticed the emperor was getting impatient with this. Finally, the emperor became so impatient about the whole thing, so upset with the whole thing, he decided to go and visit the artist's home himself. He went there to go there to demand an explanation. Why is this taking so long? What happened? How far are you in the project? Are you going to even finish the project? But instead of making excuses as he arrived in the artist's home, the artist didn't say anything, just very humbly took a blank canvas and put on a tripod. And then took his paint and his brush as he start working, almost like a music, striking the brushes little by little. And just in less than an hour, he complete the painting. And then he turned to the emperor and showed this brilliant masterpiece. It was so beautiful. It was almost like a picture, a photograph. The emperor was so impressed that he even clapped his hands, tried to see if the bird could actually fly out of the canvas. And the emperor then asked, if you could have done this in an hour, less than an hour, why it took you so long? Why the delay? What is the reason behind this such a delay? The artist showed him armloads of drawings of feathers, wings, heads, and feet, different angles, different matching of colors. Then he explained the reason why it took so long. He says, Your Majesty, I need to research. I need to study. I need to prepare. I need to take care of the minimal details because I want to produce my best for you. And I could not compromise with any details. It took so long so I could produce something worthy looking at. My dear brothers and sisters, preparation has many aspects. And if we want really to be prepared for the events that are meaningful and is a matter of a life and death for us, we need to be committed. We need to look for the quality of what we produce. In Matthew 27:62, as Mark 15:42, John 19:32, and Luke 23:54, there is one thing common about each of those texts that I just mentioned to you. Each of them mention the words preparation day. We all know that is a reference to Friday. But what is said as you read those verses, let me repeat Matthew 27:62, Mark 15:42, John 19:31, Luke 23:54. I hope you took note of this because when we study with other people about the seventh day of the week, those that insist that it's Sunday, and those of us even talk about a weekend, include Sunday as the seventh day, we get even more confused when that. The Bible, every single gospel mentions the word preparation day, the two words preparation day, to define the 6 days Friday. I hope that all the Seventh-day Adventists, when they are preparing for the Sabbath, they need to understand the preparation you don't do after the sunset. You have to do it before the sunset. And sadly, many people extend Friday into the Sabbath. We do even by practice. We even call, when we are already meeting on the Sabbath, we keep still calling, say, Friday night. We still, for some reason, psychologically, we're still pulling the Friday into the Sabbath. The preparation day, brothers and sisters, is every day before the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not a preparation day. I hope you understand that very clear when you do your own preparation for sanctification. Preparation for sanctification is a preparation that you do before that special moment started on the Sabbath. The Sabbath is Abba's day. It is not preparation day. It's not prep day. It is Abba's day. Please don't forget this. And when you read those texts, sadly, the priests, the so religious people, they are more concerned about doing evil on the Sabbath than really be prepared for the Sabbath. We may address this in another time when we talk about the Sabbath. I have another illustration for you. This happens to me too, but it happens to a college student. He was so anxious to get through with his school as soon as possible because he was anxious to go to the world and get involved with his life. So he made everything possible to get more units, to get more classes, more credit units, to finish earlier. So one day, one teacher approached him and told him, "Young man, remember, your college years are part of your life." Because they saw that everything he was doing in a hurry, so this teacher tried to advise him that his college years were part of his life. But then the young man very politely asked to his teacher, "No, sir, they are just preparing me for what follows. They are not part of my life. They are just preparing me for what comes afterwards." Yes, that young man had a good wisdom, because some people forget that school is not the goal of life. School is just the instrument to get you prepared to finish the race, to get you move on. Many people, and I know one particular person, that he went to school and he got theology, a degree in theology. Then he went to Loma Linda and got a master's degree in public health. And then he went to Mexico and became a physician. Then he came to America and he tried to pass the exam. He didn't pass the exam. So he went back to school to be prepared to get another degree. One day his wife said to him, "Enough is enough. You spend most of our life just going to school. When we're going to do something with our life?" He almost broke his marriage and broke his entire family because all he cared about, it was going after school, going after school. It's just like somebody goes to the toolbox and get one tool and then get another tool and then get another tool and then get another one and then make a whole bag full of tools. And somebody asks him, what is your project? "I don't know, I just need tools." Don't spend your life collecting tools. It's important to be prepared, but make sure that you have a project, you have a purpose. Remember the what, the why, how. You needed those things in order to succeed in life. Get on with your life. Prepare for it. And go on, move on. We need to be prepared for the kingdom. That must be our project. the what. We have to understand that there will be no entrance into a heavenly kingdom with us having some preparation first. And part of the preparation is to get ourselves clean. We need to get ourselves washed. We need to get our robes washed, made white in the blood of the Lamb. Revelation 7, 13 and 14, and New King James says, "Then one of the elders answered, saying to me, 'Who are these?'" By the way, can you imagine yourself there? He said, "Who are these? Dressed in white robes. And where did they come from?" And I said to him, "Sir, you know." So he said to me, "These are the ones from Hawaii, from Vista, from Los Angeles, from San Francisco, from all over the place. Those are the ones, those are my remnant. Those are the ones who went through the great tribulation. And the reason why they are here is because they washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb." Praise God for that. Next, the planner, whom? Preparation for a mission. It's very sad that some Christians, they become Christians and they don't prepare for a mission. They prepare for an old mission. They're always absent, and yet they claim to be part of. Anybody who become a Christian has to be on the move, has to have a journey, because Jesus himself who called you, he says, "I am the way." That implies you must walk. And then he says, "Follow me." You must walk. How do you walk? You embrace the truth. And how, where are you going to get life, eternal life? So if there is no mission, there's no spiritual purification. If there is no spiritual purification, there is no mission. 2 Timothy 2:21, the New Century Version, I read this, and it's beautiful. It says, "All who have made themselves clean from evil will be." Oh, I like to read this again. "All who make themselves clean from evil," remember, on the blood of the Lamb, "clean from evil will be used for a special purpose. They will be made holy like God." Holiness is from God. "Useful to the master, ready to do good work." Illustration from the Bible. Joshua. You know, he received his name from Moses, Yahshua. Yahshua. He died at the age of 110. He died on the year 1380 BC. You know, what we need to know about him is that he assumed leadership around 1406 BC. Therefore, he was around 85 years old when he took command from Moses. Before he became the leader of Israel, he had been a servant, a soldier, even a spy. You know that some people feel that you can make a man by giving him a position. How many churches make such a huge mistake? I have been talking to someone who said in his church he made a big mistake. He tried to, forgive me for the word, I'm going to use the word, but almost bribe people by giving them a position, an office in the church to keep them. If I don't give this position, he's going to leave the church. And people make the mistake by buying people with position. That is contrary to God's principles. You cannot give a position to a person and turn a person to a faithful. Positions are to the faithful, not to make somebody faithful. It is dangerous to give something, to give a position to somebody just to create, try to create that person, convince that person to commit to something that that person is not committed in the first place. God teaches us that it takes time to develop leadership. Many years ago, I had two members in my church, and they are almost like the opposite of each other. They were from the same, they had the same cultural background. One was a very outspoken. You can imagine Peter. He spoke about everything. He had an opinion about everything. And he really knew the Bible. He knew the Bible. He memorized many portions of the Bible. So we could tell that every time he raised his hand, we knew that he was going to mention something in the Bible because he knew the Bible. And then there was this man that was very humble, and he did not have a much study. I think he studied, he had only third grade education. He didn't read very well, but he was a person that everybody in the church loved and respected him. They respect the other one too, but they never chose him for a office. So one day he came to me and said, "Pastor, why did the church choose this man to be an elder? He does not even speak in public. He can barely read. And I can preach. I can do all those things. Why? Why him and not me?" And then I said to that brother, I said, "Brother, the church sees something in him that it wished that you had. And they look at him and wish that he had something that you have. But between the two of you, they rather have somebody who is more spiritual than the person who is more talented." And that's the decision they made. Why don't you try to copy what he has and give to him what you have, and then both of you will be extremely effective in God's church. Unfortunately, that individual did not follow our advice, but he remained faithful until the day that he closed his eyes. And I know that when the Lord comes, we will see that Peter, because even though he was an explosive kind of personality, he had a beautiful heart and he loved the Lord. Everyone wants the power, but only few wants the piety. One might say, "I wish I could play the piano like that." Well, did they see somebody playing the piano like a, you know, with so much talent? They say, "I wish I could play the piano like that." That's a lie. Of course, you're lying to yourself. Why? Because I don't think you're willing to practice as much as that person practiced. I don't think you're willing to put as much time and hard work as that person did. That person is not playing only because of talent. That person is playing because of dedication, because of discipline. So don't say this ever to yourself, "I wish I could play like that person," because that's not true. Because if you wish, why don't you get involved in preparing yourself so your wish can come through? Spiritual victories are for those who have exercised is spiritual discipline and devotion. Preparation precedes blessings. In 2 Kings 5, verse 10, it says, "In Elisha," you remember there is Elijah and then Elisha. The follow was Elisha. It says, "Elisha sent a messenger to him, Naaman," okay, say, "Go and wash in the Jordan 7 times, and your flesh shall be restored to you, and you shall be clean." Now, Naaman became offended that this prophet didn't even come to talk to me. He sent a messenger boy to talk to me. And in my country, it has beautiful, clean water. I can see the bottom from, it's so clean, comes from the mountains in Syria. Why am I going to hear this muddy river of Jordan? I'm going to humiliate myself. And then his servants told him, "Lord, don't you want to get cured?" Almost told him, and says, "You remember, you worship all those pagan gods up there from our country. None of them did anything. Why don't you do it? And he did it. He humbled himself and he sought a miracle. And brothers and sisters, when you have a purpose, when God cleans in your heart the real purpose, the why, the reason why you're doing something, miracles will happen in your life. But until you have that why, that purpose figured out in your life, no miracle will ever be complete in your life until you surrender completely to God. In John 11:39, there's this story about Lazarus. I'm going to use just a short part of verse 39, which says, Jesus said, remove the stone. By the way, I've been a pastor of quite a few churches throughout the few years that we have been in the ministry. Every single church, we may find a little stone. People that are, by their own choice, they want to play that role for some reason. When Jesus said, remove that stone, that can be applied for churches also, because there are some churches that they stay with, they never grow, they are always with problems because there is a stone and they don't have the courage to remove the stone. Jesus said, remove the stone. Until they decide to remove that stone, there was no new life. That stone was blocking a new life, a miracle, a resurrection, a new beginning. Brothers and sisters, there will be no new life. There will be no renewing your life until you listen to Jesus and remove the stone that is blocking you from him. The stone needs to be removed so that a new life may start. In John 9, verse 7, we see preparation precedes blessings. 9, verse 7, I'm reading from the Common English Version. It says, then he said, Jesus, he said, go and wash off the mud in a Siloam pool. The man went and washed, which means the Siloam, it means one who is sent. When he had washed off the mud, then he was able to see. Remove the rock. Remove the stone. Remove the mud in your eyes, and you'll be able to see. There is no vision without obedience, and there is no obedience if there is no proper preparation to understand God's purpose in your life. If you prepare, you will have a vision. If you have a vision, that will be a result of your obedience, your commitment to the Lord. Then the mud will be removed. Then the stone will be removed. And everything that will block you from to walk to Christ will be removed. That is part of the preparation. The Bible tells us about how important preparation is to be ready. Preparation is synonymous with the readiness that comes about the period when. There's no reward for people that are careless. There's no. The Bible, God does not reward carelessness. In 1 Peter 3:15, Common English Version says, honor Christ and let him be the Lord of your life. Let him be the pilot. Let him be the one who controls your destiny. Always be ready to give an answer when somebody asks you, why do you believe this way? My brothers and sisters, if you don't study the word, how can you explain anything? You must study the word. You must be familiar with the word. You have to remove all those things that is keeping you from understanding the word of God. Remove the mud, remove the stone, remove everything else that is blocking you from that revelation that the Lord wants to make to you. So you must be prepared to know what God is wants to reveal to you. Romans 13, verse 11, a New Living Translation, it says, this is all the more urgent. For you know how late it is, do you? Time is running out. Wake up. Wake up. For our salvation is near now when we first believed. In 1 Peter 1:13, it says, so prepare your mind for action and exercise self-control. Put all your hope in the gracious salvation that it will come to you when Jesus Christ is revealed to the world. As Jesus looked up, Luke 21:1-4, he saw some rich people putting their gifts into the temple money box. Then he saw a poor widow putting two small copper coins into the box. Then Jesus said, I tell you the truth. He was talking to his disciples. This poor widow gave more than all those rich people. They gave only what they did not need. This woman is very poor, but she gave all she had to live on. Brothers and sisters, sometimes people don't realize the way to be prepared for the kingdom is to value the kingdom more than anything else. When you invest in the kingdom, that's part of your preparation. Some people give to the church only what they have left over. They don't give what the Lord asks them to give with all their heart. Remember what your treasure is. There will be your heart also. Luke 21:36, New Century Version says, so be ready at all the time. Let your preparation be a daily thing. Pray that you will be strong enough to escape all those things that will happen. As we approach the time of tribulation, as we're close to the end, it says, make sure that you are strong so you can escape all those things that will happen. And that you will be able to stand before the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Others may sleep, but we should stay awake and be alert, Paul says to the Thessalonians 5, 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 6. He says, others may sleep, but we, those that are being prepared, should stay awake and be alert. The proposal how? No harvest without work. Many people want to eat, but they don't want to work. And if there is one aspect of preparation that is very important, is the how, the proposal. How is this going to be accomplished? In Proverbs 24:30-34, it talks about the lazy person. It says, I passed by a lazy person's field and by the vineyard of someone with no sense. That's what the Bible says, New Century Version. It says, thorns had grown up everywhere. The ground was covered with weeds, and the stone wall had fallen down. I thought about what I had seen. And then it says, I learned this lesson for what I saw. What is the lesson? You sleep a little. You take a nap. You play a lot of video games. You stay a lot of watching TV. You fold your hands and lie down to rest. Verse 34 says, soon you'll be as poor as if you had been robbed. Yes, you have been robbed. You have been robbed by yourself. You will have as little as if you had been held up. You won't succeed in life. Proverbs 6:6-8, New Living Translation says, take a lesson from the ants, you lazy bones. Learn from their ways and become wise. They prepare. They are pretty much involved in preparing. Look at it, it says, though they don't have no prince or governor or ruler to make them work, they labor hard all summer so that they will not starve on the winter. Because they gather food for the winter. Proverbs 20:4, New Living Translation. Those too lazy to plow in the right season will have no food at the harvest. Let me make this the Elson version. I'll say this to you. Those that do not work, they'll have no food to eat. Hosea 10, verse 12, New Living Translation. I said, plant the good seeds of righteousness. Plant them, and you will harvest a crop of love. Plow up the hard ground of your hearts. For now is the time to seek the Lord, that he may come and shower righteousness upon you. For I know the plans I have for you. We find that in Jeremiah 29, verse 11, New Living Translation. Says the Lord, they are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and hope. So plan, prepare yourself. In Proverbs 16:3 says, commit your actions to the Lord, and your plans will succeed. Your preparation will be not in vain. Jesus said in John 14:1-3, don't let your hearts be troubled. Don't get distracted by all this pestilence, all this disaster is going on. Trust in God and trust also in me. There are many rooms in my Father's house. I know because I saw one there with your name. I prepared one with your name. I would not tell you this if it were not so true. I'm going there to prepare a place for you. Yes, God, Jesus Christ, at this moment, he's involved in a project of preparation for your arrival. He's preparing a place for you and for me. And I go and prepare a place for you. I will come back. When the preparation is over, I'm coming back. And I'm taking you to be with me. Because wherever I am, I need you there too. I'm coming back for you. In Matthew 24:21-22, it says, for then there will be a great tribulation, such as have never been seen from the beginning of the world until this time. No, nor even shall be. And unless those days were shortened, no flesh would be saved. But don't worry, my brothers and sisters. God is watching over his elect. He says, for the sake of elect, those days will be shortened. And we'll be taken out of here to go to that place where Jesus Christ has been prepared for us. Watch therefore and pray always that you may not become worthy, that you may become worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and to stand before the Son of Man. Luke 36. Luke 21:28 says, now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift up your heads because your redemption draws near. Matthew 24:42. So always be ready, because you don't know the day your Lord will come. Always be ready. Isaiah 40, verse 3, it talks about something that somebody relate this to John, the baptizer. But this is prophetically also relate to you and I as part of the remnant movement of the three angels' message that needs to be preached. Because it's with the three angels' message preached that we are preparing a path for the Lord to come. He says, this is the voice of one who calls out, prepare in a desert the way for the Lord. Make straight road in a dry lands for our God. Imagine this text talking about you, that we must prepare the world so that Jesus Christ may come. Let me illustrate our point. Have you ever seen an insurance commercial on TV that shows a talking pothole? This hole talks and says, did I do that? When somebody hits the hole, it says, did I do that? Let me call someone for you. Oh, I don't have the cell phone. The talking pothole just causes problems. It does nothing to fix them. There are some people that spend their life just like those potholes. They create problems but they have no solutions. They are never part of the solution. They are always part of the problem. In our path, in our preparation to go to the kingdom, there will be some people that will come in our path and will become that pothole. We should not allow ourselves to be distracted by those things, but keep our eyes focused on Jesus Christ and march on. You know, those roads contain potholes made by men and made by women. Those potholes of indifference, potholes of hatred, potholes of disease, potholes of poverty, are all around us and they are created by men and women. Sometimes with intent, only intent, to cause us to stumble and to fall and to become distracted and take our eyes away from the master. It has no potholes, but the ones men and women has made them. Those are the ones that we should avoid. The only road that conducts to the Christ is Jesus Christ himself says, I am the way. And that way there is no potholes. The way to the Lord is made smooth. And we need to follow Christ, to follow his footsteps, to avoid those potholes. Proverbs 16, verse 9 says, people plan their path, but the Lord secures their steps. Another illustration that I found interesting that I'd like to share with you is a true story. It's about the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo, Japan. Years ago, Frank Lloyd Wright was given the impossible task of building the Imperial Hotel in Tokyo. No comparable construction job have ever been undertaken by anyone. With patience, he laid plans for the immense building in this land of earthquakes and terrible tremors. After carefully reviewing the situation, he found that 8 feet below the surface of the ground lay a 60-foot bed of soft mud. For some people, that would be enough reason for him to give up. But he kept in planning. He kept working. Then he said, why not float the great structure on this and in some way make it absorb the shock? So that could be a problem. He decided to turn that into a solution. Maybe this will absorb the shock of the earthquake. After 4 years of work and preparation, being constantly ridiculed and criticized by those skeptical bystanders, this most difficult building in the world was completed. And soon will come the day when a test was going to be conducted. Not by man, but by nature. The worst earthquake in 52 years caused houses all around and buildings to stumble and fall in ruins. But guess what, my brothers and sisters? The Imperial Hotel stood. You know what it stood there? Because it took preparation. Because it took dedication. It took commitment. And the person with all the preparation, he made room to understanding his limitations and his potential. Because it was able to adjust itself to the tremors of the earth, that building is standing still. I'd like to say to you today, my brother and sister, that if you allow the Lord to adjust your life, to give you the wisdom to prepare yourself well, no matter how much the ground will shake under you, you will stand still. Because those that stand with the Lord will stand until he comes and then forever. Next Sabbath is communion. When we read the Bible, it tells us that in order to prepare for communion, we needed to repent of our sins. We need to wash ourselves, wash the mud from our eyes, wash our robes on the blood of the Lamb. We need to be prepared, because when we come to the Lord's table, we need to be stable. We need to be balanced. We need the Holy Spirit to be in control of our lives. When we come to the Lord's table, the Bible tells us that if we do have something against our brother, we need to leave the offering by the altar and go and make peace. I met two individuals in my life, in my ministry. I met many individuals, but these two individuals were very unique. They both belong to a different church, and both of them belong to a different culture. They are completely different, but they have something in common. Every single time that I met those two individuals, they will come to me. It looks like they even met in the same room, and they even planned to say the same words, because even though they are two totally different individuals, they never even met each other. They talk like each other so much. One would say to me, "Pastor, I'm sorry, Pastor." And this is because the community would be the following week. I said, "Pastor, as the Bible says, I came to ask you for forgiveness." I said, "Brother, forgiveness for what?" "Oh, I have said bad things about you." I said, "Okay, brother, don't worry about it. If you're sincere, God will forgive you. I have no problem." Next communion, 3 months later, here comes the same individual saying the same thing again. And this went on for a while until one day I said, "Brother, don't you think it's better for you to stop saying something bad about me so that you don't have to come and ask for forgiveness? Because forgiveness, brother, is supposed to be given to those that want to change their lives, not to the ones who have planned to remain the same." And the other individual did exactly the same thing. He said, "You'll come to me and say, 'Pastor, I'm sorry. I'd like to apologize because I said something bad about you.'" And the third time that this individual said this to me, I said, "Brother, please don't feel offended, but I don't need your apologies. All thing that I need from you is for you to give God a chance in your life and change your ways. Because if you keep asking for forgiveness, it's almost permission to go back and do it again. That's not really a desire to change." Today, I'd like to say this to you, brothers and sisters. As you come to prepare yourself for the communion, have peace with God. Have peace with your fellow man. Be prepared to be the way Christ wants you to be. When he told his disciples, "Go and prepare me a communion," they went to prepare the room. They went to prepare everything else. Unfortunately, most of them forgot the most important thing about the communion, is that they didn't clean themselves. There was Judas. There was Peter. Everyone denied Christ except one, John. I hope that at this coming communion, this coming High Sabbath, you come prepared. You come with the confidence that the Lord has forgiven you. You come with the confidence that you have peace with your brothers and sisters. You come with the confidence that the Lord has prepared a table before you, and that he wants you to put your feet under his table as part of his family. May the Lord bless you and give you a very strong determination to be always committed in preparation, so when the Lord comes, you can hear his invitation to come to his kingdom. God bless you as he has blessed us. And until next Sabbath, when we all going to be at the same table, may the Lord keep you always close to him. This is my wish for all of you. Please be safe. Please be kind. Please be faithful always. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.
This session is no longer being recorded. At this time, we will have the hymn of affirmation. This is Sister Dawn and Sister Danya Tayag. Please turn to hymn number 579, "'Tis Love That Makes Us Happy." "'Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. 'Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. This world is full of sorrow, of sickness, death, and sin. With loving hearts, we'll do our part and try some souls to win. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. 'Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day. And when this life is over and we are called above, our song shall be eternally of Jesus and his love. God is love, we're his little children. God is love, we would be like him. 'Tis love that makes us happy, 'tis love that smooths the way. It helps us mind, it makes us kind to others every day.
Now I'd like to invite you to bow down your heads for an invocation, for the benediction, I should say. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord give you the power and the ability and the intelligence and the skills to prepare yourself. Allow the Lord to come into your life and prepare yourself, not only for the communion in this life, but the communion, the eternal communion. May the Lord pour his Holy Spirit upon each one of you. In the name of Christ, we ask. Amen.
My peace I give unto you. It's a peace that the world cannot give. It's a peace that the world cannot understand. Peace to know, peace to live. My peace I give unto you. My love I give unto you. It's a love that the world cannot give. It's a love that the world cannot understand. Love to know. Love to live, my love I give unto you. My joy I give unto you. It's a joy that the world cannot give. It's a joy that the world cannot understand. Joy to know, my joy I give unto you.
By now be made free from sin and have become servants of God, you have the fruit of sanctification and the result of eternal life. It is our mission here in Vista, and we'd like to share this with everyone who joined us for this service today. Put God first, always in your life. As part of your preparation, put Him first. That will conduct you to be motivated to serve others. That's a beautiful aspect of our communion. To put God first, to serve others, and of course, to share your faith to make disciples. May the Lord bless you today and always.